He leaves the bar and decides to take a shortcut through a graveyard. It's raining pretty heavily, and he falls into a grave pit that's going to be used, and he's slippery slope, and he gets in there, and he can't climb out. He's trying everything to climb out, but he keeps slipping. It's too deep, and so he decides, I'll spend the night. He put himself in the corner there in the grave and just sat there, and then this other drunk, same bar, has the same idea. He comes through the graveyard trying to take a shortcut. It's raining still. He falls into the same grave pit. He's trying to get out. He's trying to struggle. And that guy that fell in first, the first drunk, he's just standing watching, sitting watching in the corner, doesn't see him yet. And he's just sitting there watching. So finally, that second guy gives up too, and he sits on the other side. Well, at this moment, the first guy that was drunk, he approaches him. And he just grabs his shoulder and says, "You'll never get out." And boy, did he. Right out of that grave. Aren't you glad that we have a glorious event called the resurrection? Aren't you glad? And so Matthew 28 records it from Matthew, the tax collector that was redeemed. He's no longer on the take. He's Jesus' man. And he records this loving gospel about what happened on that glorious day 2,000 years ago and why we celebrate. Matthew 28, verse 1, on the big screen in your handout or on your device or your Bible. Amen. After the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first week, Mary Magdalene. Now, this was the lady, real quick, pause, that had seven demons. Now, I could take probably one demon. How about you? Two, but man, those were a lot of chamucos in her, right, everybody? Man, that lady was, I've never heard, there must have been such oppression that this lady faced. But look, now she's coming to the grave site of Jesus, or the grave stone of Jesus. And the other Mary, which probably means Mary's mother, went along to the tomb. And there was a violent earthquake. As Roger sang, the earth began to shake, amen. And the angel of the Lord came and sat down from heaven. And going to the tomb, he rolled back the stone, and somebody say, sat on it, yeah? I'm taking over, right? Heaven's taking over today, right? Verse 3, and his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were like as white as snow. And so this wasn't those little funny little cherub, cute little angels that you get at the Christian bookstore that's real chubby. This was a mighty angel because, verse 4 says, the guards that were elite, this was a crack team of commandos, amen, Navy SEAL type guys. They were so afraid of him that they shook, and they became like what? And so these angels weren't the funny little cherub, amen. These were mighty beings. Amen. And the angel said to the women, and he turned towards, and he said, "Do not be afraid, for what you're looking for is Jesus, who was crucified." I'd love verse 6. Why don't we read it together on the big screen? Verse 6 says this, "He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." And that was folded up. His wardrobe was now folded neatly, like, "I'm not coming back. You can keep it." Amen. I went through enough humiliation. I paid for everyone's sins, and now you can have it. Amen. I'm leaving the host the same. I'm leaving it better than I found it. Amen. Verse 7. "And then go quickly and tell the disciples he is risen from the dead and going ahead of you to Galilee." And I'm so thankful God's waiting for you today. He sent ahead. He's going ahead of you. And so it says, "There you will see him. And now I have told you." And so the woman hurried away to the tomb. The women did, afraid yet joyful, like, "Oh God, is it, what's happening right now?" Oh, but there's joy, amen, happy and nervous. And they ran to tell the disciples. Reflect on that just for a moment. Because what is it that has you messed up in your mind, and in a moment it can change? An hour before this, the two ladies, Mary Magdalene and Mary, they were upset. Their Savior had gone. And then just like in a moment, in a time shift, God has a way of just saying, "I'm with you now. Things are going to be better." Amen. Maybe by the end of this word, by the end of this service, God will do that in your life. I hope so. God's going before you right now. He's going to fight that battle. He's going to help every one of you. Who's encouraged in this room, right, everybody? Let's seize the opportunity right now. Verse 9, suddenly Jesus met them. There he is, the Savior's greeting. They came to him, and they said, they clasped to his feet. In other words, they seized his feet. Oh, how I wish Jesus right now, we could hold on to him, and we can right now, amen, by faith. And they worshiped him, which was a real appropriate to do. And then Jesus said to him, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and they will see me." Amen. The resurrection story could have been a whole lot different. It could have been where Jesus didn't rise from the dead. He could have been a liar, but our Savior wasn't. He was the word of truth. He is truth. So everything that he said was truthful. And so he said, "I'm coming back in 3 days. You got my word on it. I'm going to come back in 3 days. Aren't you glad that Jesus is a promise keeper? Amen. He's a promise keeper for you and I. I think if archaeologists and the critics, they would have said, you know, we got to find that body to shut those people up. For 2,000 years, they've been saying that he's risen. So let's find his body. And they tried. They haven't found any bones. They found other people that said they were going to live forever. They found their body. They found their burial tomb that they're there. But Jesus, they have yet to find. Not even bones they can find, right? They found the ark, but they can't find Jesus. Lots of luck. Give me a good amen. Yeah. And so the grave is empty, and he is risen. The disciples were so convinced of Christ's resurrection that they changed the world. A doubter named Thomas, at the very end of Jesus' life, "I won't believe, not unless I stick my hands in his holes that they made on the... I'll believe then." And Jesus showed up and said, "Now do you believe," right? That same doubter that saw him resurrected in a resurrected body, he changed the world. He got so filled with God, so full of the Spirit of God, and he saw a dead man that was once dead, now walking in a glorified body, that it changed his whole life. He walked all the way to India, legend says, and he preached the gospel, and nobody could stop him. All the disciples that were left with Jesus, 10 of them died a martyr's death because they believed so much that they went to die for Jesus. When it was come to push or shove or a knife or we'll kill you, I believe I saw a risen dead man and he's walking around and he's no longer in his grave clothes. He's alive and risen, and I'll die for my Savior. That's how much they were convinced with the passion of Christ that was within them that they could spread the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world, of their world that they knew today. There have been critics like, "Well, maybe he fell asleep, and, you know, after he got beat up with a cat of nine tails and he got that horrific beating, and then he was crucified on the cross, and then he probably went to sleep and got rested up, and he moved that stone by himself and he got out of that grave." Or maybe the disciples took him away and hid him away. There's critics that say that. But our Savior lives so much, it's proven through witnesses. 2,000 years, we've seen the hand of God upon people's life. Who has risen from the dead today because of Christ? Yeah, we all have, amen, yeah, today. They were weak, they were timid, and yet God did a great work in their lives today. And he changed cowards into courageous men and women in faith today. The resurrection story is inviting us, each and every one of us today, that our story can be rewritten, that our story can be retold. It doesn't have to end in some sort of a way of not glory. It doesn't have to end without a meaning or significance. See, all your life, some of us in this room, we've searched for something greater, something of purpose. And God has said, "I am that purpose. And if you find me, you find life. If you find the resurrection, you find my life today." And you'll never discover it on your own. There has to be more. You're searching. Jesus is still alive today. Amen. The first principle about your story doesn't need to end in the grave is this first one. We must rise as he did. The resurrection is not a myth. It's the very heart of Christianity. Without the resurrection, there is no hope. And today there's hope. We all have that hope because Jesus is alive today. Jesus was in his final hour. You think he had to preach, amen? You think he had to show up? Jesus was abandoned. He was betrayed in his final hour. He was sent off pretty good, wasn't he? He was suffering, and he had heartbreak. Because he did it all today, does it sound that bad? Sorry. Amen. Just got on Facebook. Amen, too. Amen, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank y'all. Y'all gave me, you know what it says about bringing somebody water, a prophet, that you're going to receive a prophet's reward. And you already have the nice suit, and so does Ricky. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Bless those men. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I appreciate them. Amen. I'll try to do better today. Amen. Jesus rose, and we have to rise. You got to get past that abandonment. You got to get past that depression. You got to get past that suffering, that heartbreak today. He's risen, and he's called you to rise to live the way you're supposed to live today. You can either be a victim all your life, or you can be a victor in Christ. But you have to make that choice. Everybody that goes through suffering in this room, what I've noticed, in every life, in every heart, every community that has suffering in it, they can either choose to suffer or they can choose to say, you know what, God's still been good to me. And I'm going to rise from the ashes. I'm going to rise from the defeat. And God's still going to be good to me. Amen, everybody? Amen. Rise again. When you get knocked down, get up again. Amen. Be Rocky Balboa. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. The Spirit of God who raised, that word raised right there is a word that says to arouse, to wake up. It's time to wake up. Some guy in the back row just woke up. Amen. Jesus from the dead is living in you. Aren't you glad? Somebody say, within me. Amen. Yeah, Jesus is living. Amen. Pinch your neighbor and say, he's living within me. You pinch too hard. And so the God who raised Christ from the dead also gives life to our bodies. And that's the flesh that you have. And so you will do this because the Spirit who lives in you, he's living within you today. I have to walk around with this shell that I have on the outside, and it's getting older. It's not a glorified body. And if you look at your neighbor, they don't have a, is this all? Amen. This is all that's going to be. It has to get better. I've tried to push it up. Amen. I've tried to push it back, but it still comes back. Give me a good amen. And don't laugh. We're all in the same boat. Even if you have a personal trainer in this room, right? But what it means is the flesh, I can have victory over it. I don't have to do with the flesh. I can say, no, I can live this way. I can live better. I can do what the Spirit of God is telling me to do. And we get these bad reports. That's a bad report from the doctor. And no, in the name of Jesus, this is the flesh, but I can still let the Spirit override that doctor's report. I can still let the dream of God in my life, just like it is in your life, override what the dream may have been dashed. And God said, Noah, I'm giving you a new beginning. We don't live by feeling. We live by faith. And the faith of God saying you can rise up. I can't go on. Yes, you can. The faith of God in your life today. Amen. I'm so glad that the obligation that you have is just to put the new man on. Amen. You just suit up and show up today. The old man is dead. Amen. Yeah, the old man is no longer going to hang out with you today. The old man is going to live within you. The new man is going to live within you today. Amen. One guy thought, well, am I going away from her? No, I'm going to get a new husband. No, you're not going to get any of that. Amen. The new man's going to rise. The new person's going to rise within every heart in this room today. There's this pastor that pastored in the 1950s, and his name was H.M. Lockridge. And he pastored the great Calvary Baptist Church in San Diego from 1953 to 1993. And he's written this, one of his most powerful sermons was, It's Sunday, it's Friday, but Sunday's on the way. Now, y'all know that some of y'all will call me a coconut, so I can't get too soul brothery on you today, right? But I can do it my style. And so y'all need to help me out on this. And so we need to give this place a little bit of a facelift. And we need to get this place just a little bit of a lift. So I'm going to kind of record some of the words that he said right now. And so why don't you even try to give me this, hey, something like that. Anybody? How about somebody say, yes, Lord. Yeah, you gotta make that Lord go, Lord. Yay. So remember, this is what he's saying. He starts off, and he did it the way he can only do it. Again, somebody needs to help a brother up here. Amen. It's only Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, and Jesus is dead on the cross, nailed to a cross. But it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. Yeah. Y'all can respond by saying Sunday's coming. The first service didn't need any help. I don't know what's wrong with y'all, but we're going to. Sunday's coming, amen. It's Friday. Mary's crying her heart out because her Jesus is dead. But it's only Friday. Sunday's coming, amen. It's Friday. The disciples are running around like sheep without a shepherd. But it's only Friday. Perfect. It's Friday. Pilate's strutting around, washing his hands because he thinks he has all the power and victory. But it's only Friday. It's Friday. People are saying this is the way things are going to always be. Things are never going to change. But it's Friday. It's Friday. Satan is doing a jig and dancing around and saying, I control the world. But it's only Friday. It's Friday. The temple veil is ripped from top to bottom. The earth shook. The rock split. The centurion screams in fear. Truly, he was the Son of God. But it's only Friday. It's Sunday. The angel is dazzling like rolling the stone away and exclaiming, he is risen. He is not here. It's Sunday. It's Sunday. It's Sunday. Yeah. Hey, it's Sunday today. It's Sunday today. Did you know it's Sunday today? What's going to happen after Sunday? Jesus is coming again. The trumpet's going to sound. Amen. Let's just get our practice. Amen. We're going to jump. Amen. I'll beat you in the rapture. Amen. In the second coming of Christ today. Who has God raised in this room from the dead? Amen. This is your moment, amen, to shine. This is your moment to celebrate that Jesus has raised you from a dead man, amen, a dead person today. We should have been dead, all of us in this room, but God's given us that resurrection power within our lives today, right, everybody? I believe he's raised you today to say, I'm going to rise up in God's life today. I'm going to do what God's told me to do today. I'm going to obey God. The second thought is this. Somebody shout this with me. We rise because of his life within us, his life in us today. Yeah. How would you live if you knew you were going to rise from the dead, if the grave could not hold you down? How would you live your day? How would you live your final hours if you knew that you would rise from the dead and the grave? And you have that ability as a believer today that you'll never die. Your spirit, your flesh again is dying, but your spirit man. Jesus knew that nothing could hold him back, and he lived that way in his final hours. He was abandoned. He was forsaken. He was betrayed. He was suffering. But he lived like a man that wasn't going to be held back by any of that. And so can you, beloved. Amen. Because the life of God within you is right now here within you. Jesus served his friends in his final hour in love. And so when hard times come, one of the secrets of not having a pity party is serving people, loving people. Amen. Right, everybody? Just like Jesus. Jesus gave the way to live during the trial of your life today. Jesus prayed through agony. Yeah, he really did. He prayed that great, because he prayed so hard, great blood drops, perspiration came from his forehead and dripped down because he was such in agony. But you know, he prayed with submission. Not my will, but your will be done. Right, everybody? He prayed through agony. He endured betrayal. And you know how he did it with betrayal? He said, I know what he did. He probably punched somebody. No, you know what Jesus did? He prayed. He went through agony and he didn't strike back. I find that amazing. He just was a lamb led to the slaughter, amen? Should I do that? There should be times. You're not to be a doormat, but you are to do the right thing today when you endure betrayal. You're to endure it as Christ did. He's your example today. He obeyed his Father in the midst of great suffering. He still did the Father's will. And I think it's real important that during the hard times of your life, because we all are going to have them, every one of us will not escape a trial or a season like, God, how am I going to make it? You still have relationship with God. Don't give up on church. Don't give up on people. Don't give up on God's people. Don't give up on the house of God. Especially don't give up on the God that made you. Right, everybody? He carried a burden, and it was not his own. Well, I'll carry that guy's burden because that's my son. I'll carry that person's burden. That's my daughter. That's my family. But you carry somebody's burden that's not even your own? That's what Jesus did. Because he loves you that much. He finished his mission. And he finished it not only because he got a big reward, but he finished it in death. And that's our mission, so we could live. Amen? John chapter 11 just highlights Jesus and his friendship with people. There's this friend that he had named Lazarus. And he was friends with Mary and Martha. They both lived in the house. And Martha was always the one doing stuff, remember? She just couldn't sit down. She was that type that was an extrovert and just was moving. And Mary was the one that said, you know, sit at my feet and worship me. And both of them are kind of good examples, but Mary had the better example, right, everybody? And she chose to do the right thing. Well, Lazarus dies. They're best friends with Jesus. Lazarus is dead. He's in the grave, stinking 3 days. And Jesus appears on the scene, and Martha's all messed up because there's always going to be a sister that gets mad in the church. Right, everybody? Martha's all like, why couldn't you have come sooner? And why? And he has to just, man, chill out, Martha. Get the rollers out of your hair. And, you know, you're coming out and greeting me, you know, with a wooden spoon, you know, coming out. And Jesus has to have this conversation with her about what it is to have the resurrection life within you and how you act even in the middle of troublesome times in your life, because she was facing, her brother was dead. And she was saying, if you'd only come sooner. So here it is, 11 on the screen or in your handout. Martha answered, I know he will arise again in the resurrection. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. When Jesus said that to her, only God could say such a thing. Right, everybody? Somebody that's just normal. That was God in the flesh speaking. And the one who believes in me, even though they die, and whomever lives by believing me, somebody say, will never die. And he answered at the very end, do you believe this, Martha? He was just looking at her. He wasn't looking at anybody else. And I think God comes to each of us today in the form of this word. And he says, do you believe this? And we'd have to say, yes. You know, because God doesn't want something lukewarm, like maybe. I don't know. I'd rather it be probably no than yes. I mean, rather than say, you know, if you don't even know, I can't make up my mind. Don't say just no, but just don't say no. But if you're going to go all in with the life of God in your life today. Say a resounding yes to the Lord. Yes, you can do it. Yes, God, you can save my life. Yes, God, you can resurrect a marriage. Yes, God, you can save my loved ones. Yes, God, you can save my life and you can heal me. Yes, Lord, I believe. Because God activates that. When you say yes, God moves. But he's waiting for the yes, because God's not he's not this bully. He's a gentleman, and he wants you to say, yes, Lord, come, take over my life today. And you got to respond the same way. Apart from Jesus, we have neither resurrection or life today. And you need to have resurrection. Death cannot kill the believer. Amen. Amen. I'm glad this morning, along with the believers at Living Faith Church, that I don't have to wait for Easter once a year. I can have a resurrected life every day. Amen. Every day. It's my coming out party today. How about you? It's my coming out party tomorrow. Yeah, it's my coming out. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. Amen, everybody? Finally, three is this. We rise to be his hands and feet. Yeah. Somebody hit their neighbor and say, this guy's good. He's almost finished. Once we experience a resurrection of Jesus, we need to go enjoying God's story to the world. Right, everybody? There was this pastor, and he had a dream. And he's dreaming about just the devil that comes in the dream. And this man sees the devil, and the devil has these glaring red eyes at him and is looking at him. And the guy can't move. The pastor can't move in the dream, and he's just frozen. And he wants to say scripture, but nothing comes out of him. He wants to point out and say, but the name of Jesus won't even come out. And he's just frozen there. And all of a sudden, the guy says that he sees Jesus come into the dream. Jesus appears into that room where the devil has him frozen. He says that Jesus appears in the dream, and Jesus has his back towards the man, but he has his front towards that devil. And the devil, he notices that the devil's frozen there and Jesus is frozen there. But Jesus does something interesting. He starts to back up. He starts to back up towards the man. And the man is saying, no, 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 Jesus, you're Jesus. You don't have to back up. Go head on with him. Rush on. Amen. Knock him out, Jesus. You're here for me. You're going to save him. You're going to save me. And the man, Jesus keeps backing up and backing up and backing up until he backs up right into the man, into his hands, into his feet, into his heart, into his very essence. And Jesus is within the man. And boldness rises within that man. And he points the finger of God with his finger, and he says, in the name of Jesus, go! And the devil flees like a coward today. All God is looking for is a shell that he can have and have you that he might inhabit, so you are his hands and you are his feet. And everywhere that you move, God would move. If God does this, you do this. If God looks this way, you look this way, because God is within you today. Do I have any candidates out there that God is going to inhabit? Amen. In Him we live, and in Him we have our being today. In the days of Christ, there was the thought of washing feet, because they had open-toed sandals, amen. They didn't have any odor eaters. They didn't have any powder that you could, they didn't have any baking soda. Isn't that something? You could put in those shoes like y'all put in this morning, amen. Washing feet was the humblest of acts, and it was usually done by the bondservant, and they had ranks even in bondservants. And it usually was a boy that needed to make some extra money, you know, shining shoes or something. And so the bondservant that day, when Jesus went into that final hour that he would be with his disciples, said, I have to wash feet, because we're not going to come to this table all messed up today, because the way the tables were lower. They hadn't invented chairs yet. And so nobody wanted stinky feet next to them. Well, that's a bad way to lose your appetite, right, everybody? Yeah. And so at that moment, Jesus starts girding himself and starts taking a basin and taking a towel and water. He had to make it just right so cold water wouldn't be in somebody's feet. Hot water would have, but he made it just right for them. He prepared it for them. And he began to wash their feet. And he says this to them in Matthew, John chapter 13, verse 12. Are y'all there with me? Yeah. Amen. And then he said this, do you understand what I've done for you? And he meant, Jesus said, I'm not going to leave this to understanding by chance. I want to teach you something right now. And it's very important. They had to get this amazing act into their heart. And Jesus paused and says, I want you to know what I'm doing. You address me as teacher and master, rightly so. And that is what I am. And so if I, the master teacher, wash your feet, you must go and wash other feet. I've laid down a pattern for you. And what I've done for you, I'm not only pointing out the obvious. And the servant is not ranked above the master. An employee doesn't give orders to the employer. If you understand what I'm telling you, who understands right now what God is telling us, right? Amen. Act like it and live a blessed life. The example of Jesus marked their attitude and their action today. I believe there's symbolism in going to our community and washing away all their discouragement as Christ followers today in this room. I believe towards each other, every believer in this room, sometimes someone in this room is going to be discouraged like they have been. Someone's going to lose somebody that's very close to them. Someone's going to get bad news, and we wash their feet. I'm all for washing feet if you want to do that, but why don't we just have the attitude? I said, look, I'll wash. I'll be with you right now during your hardest time, and I'm going to wash that discouragement right off of you today. Amen. I'm going to take care of you right now. I'm going to be there for you. Amen. Who needs a brother like that? Who needs a sister? Yeah. We serve God. We become His hands and feet today. Imagine 24 filthy feet, 24 calloused, smelly, funky feet. That's pretty amazing that the Savior of the world, the King of the universe, would bend down and wash fishermen's feet. Right, everybody? And two of them would betray Him. Two of them, I'm washing your feet, all knowing, I know you're talking about me behind my back. I know you're doing all this, and I'm still washing your feet. I'm still honoring you right now by washing your feet, Judas. And Judas's name is so cursed now that they don't even name a dog that, right, everybody? Yeah. Peter would kind of forsake him, and he washed Peter's feet, right, everybody? The amazing story is what we're to do, not only for each other, but to reach beyond these four walls and do that to our community today, right, everybody? Every disciple is expected to serve. It's not an option. Well, if I feel like it, if you're a follower of Christ, you're commanded to serve. You're commanded to, well, I got to do it. No, you do it with a joyful attitude. Amen. You do it with a heart. The attitude is everything today, amen? You're called to do that if you claim to be a Christ follower today. For the believer, there's no such thing as spiritual unemployment. I'm so glad you don't retire in the house of God, right, everybody? We all use the gifts that God has given us in this room to serve His kingdom and to bring glory to Him. Everyone in this room has at least one gift. Some of you have three. You know who you are, you A-plus students. Some of us are like C-minus, like I am, man, and you got one gift. Use it. Use it for God's glory, and look what God does, right? He can use anyone today, right? I want you to be motivated by obedience. I want you to be motivated by gratitude. God, look, you could have used anybody, but you chose to use me today when God's living through you. I want you to have gladness in your heart today, because you should be glad that God chose to use us, right? He could have chosen to pick out somebody else. How about humility? Out of everybody, amen, somebody ought to be humble and say, God, you can use me if you can use anybody, God. Yeah. And out of love today. I noticed that my marriage is sweeter when Irma and I are serving each other. No, you go before, babe. No, you do it. No, you do it. You know when our marriage isn't good? When we're not serving each other. How about your marriage? You can't find anything sweeter than two people serving each other, right? Amen. I gave you guys, you ought to put some love in the offering after that, guys. You know what to do now, right? Yeah. Church people, you're a blessing to everyone when you serve. Amen. Take your eyes off yourself. And there's nothing like serving the Lord. I encourage you to find your spiritual gifts. You'll do that in a matter of weeks, so you can do that by spiritualgift.com. Find out how you're bent, what you're used to, what you do, and God will. Serving is hard work. I'm not going to glamorize it. It's meant to be tough. The Apostle Paul talked about how hard he worked. And how hard he worked, he says, I worked my fingers really to the bone. I worked with all my heart. I worked till I was physically exhausted. And that if you're going to get tired, why not get tired for God? Amen. Why not sleep well at the end of the night because you did so much to serve God, right, everybody? That's how it was on Good Friday, this past Friday. In the morning, one great servant of the Lord from Living Faith Church went to the adult daycare. And she stood there and she served the people that were there in her congregation. She has her small group that she leads by serving them. And they listened to her Bible study. But then it came to the time of prayer. And the time of prayer, do you know what those precious people did that have a lot of problems? You go there and you realize, man, I ain't got any problem. I ain't nothing to worry about. And she served and she heard this. Listen up. She heard this. She said, you know what they told me? Instead of me praying for them, Pastor, they remembered us. They said, I want to pray for the brother that's not here that almost passed away, but God saved him because we want him to come back. We miss him that much. And they remembered his wife, and they remembered the other sister, and they remembered other people. And she walked away so blown away, saying, you know, here, I wanted to bless them. See, that's what serving does. It blesses you. You give, and God, just the pipeline within you, right? It makes, just God puts more blessing in you. In the afternoon at 2, we went to Marbach Manor Apartments, and we served there. And I was, as much as I could, I noticed some of the people. And I'm not going to mention names because everybody was there. Amen. There were about 30 Living Faithers that were serving. And you know what? The complete number with the community, by the time we were finished, there was like 100 people that were within that square that you guys saw. And one of our men that's mighty that could have probably said, you know what? I don't want to leave this. I want to leave this. There's trash on the ground before we got here. I saw him picking up trash. He was bending down to make sure that the playground was left better than what we found it. One lady that was homeless at one time in her history saw someone. Now she has an apartment, and that other lady has an apartment, but she was reunited with a lady. One of our ladies of faith was reunited with somebody else that she was at with Haven for Hope. And they got to say, you remember me, I remember you, and they were remembering each other because it was a great reunion. One lady, one daughter of the house, she had taken her lunch break, and she says, I'm going to come serve. And there she was serving. And that young daughter, she grew up there at Marbach Manor. She had lived there for a season. She doesn't live there anymore. There are blessed people living there. But she went back to the place that she came from and served people. Right, everybody? God does that through servanthood. He blesses you. He washes you. He makes you new again. Right, everybody, today? And so this morning, Jesus shows up. The Apostle Paul shows up. And he tells us, serve with all your heart. If you're going to serve, realize it's an honor to serve. Realize this day you serve and you give it your all because we are his hands and feet. In the name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Let's bow and pray together right now. Father, thank you for the work of God continuing today. Thank you, Jesus, that you didn't give up. Jesus, you yourself had every authority, every right to send angels in the place, send somebody else, a prophet. But thank you, my God, you didn't give up. You got up again. And so we must rise as he did. We must rise to have the life within us. We must rise to be his hands and feet today. Thank you, Father. Bless the persons of the Lord today, the people of God, the people of living faith. Thank you, Father, for the encouragement and resurrection power coming to their lives to live. Thank you, Jesus. I always want to give you an opportunity as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. No one looking around right now. Just kind of be still as you, if you could today. This is an important moment today. I'm not going to embarrass you, just to be straight up. You're not joining this church. But you are going to give the opportunity today, given that opportunity, to receive Christ, to say yes to Him. You're far away from Jesus, and you need a Savior. And Jesus presents Himself on the cross, but not only dying for your sins because it was a great day, a great debt to pay, but He also rises from the dead for your life. The resurrection power today, so you can have a new life, so your story doesn't have to end that way today. All it takes is faith, not a feeling today, but faith in God to say, Lord, I serve you today. If that's you in this room, again, I won't embarrass you, but I'll ask to see your hand slightly lifted. If that's you, say, I need to say yes to Christ today. He needs to save me. I'll lead you in a prayer from the platform. You'll pray right where you're at. If that's you, would you say yes to Jesus today? If that's anybody in the house, I'm just looking right now for your hand today. You want to make sure that you're born again, that you're receiving Christ today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I'm just making sure. God bless you, sir. Someone else, you're my brother. Someone else, just making sure. Saying yes to the Lord. Anybody? Be a man of God today. Have a future today. Let God rewrite your story. Yeah. The benefit of that one man that lifted his hand, I pray with him. We'll pray this prayer together. But you pray it. We're sinners saved by grace today. We pray this prayer out loud, not out soft today. Heavenly Father, thank you for the blood of Jesus. It removes all my sins. Thank you for a new beginning. And by faith, I call upon the name of the Lord. And He saves me today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Fill the people of the Lord with the Holy Spirit now. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For that one person that lifted their hand, let's bless them. Come on, celebrate. Yeah. Bless that man, Lord. Bless him, Lord. There's a connection card in front of you. If you need a prayer request, there's a place that you can fill that.